Go back with me now to Gospel of Luke. The great Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, came into this world to save sinners. This is a faithful saying, meaning it is true. True to God's Word, true to His character, and true for sinners, a promise. And it's worthy of all acceptation. All are sinners that need to hear this. And He came to save the worst, chief of sinners. The worst sinners give Him the greatest glory. The lowest sinners show His mercy the highest. He came into this city called Nain, down in verse 11. Came into this city called Nain, and it says many of His disciples went with Him, and much people. The Lord came into this city as He did many others. He told His disciples, "Let us go into this town or that town, for there I must preach." The Lord is the great shepherd who came into this world in search of His lost sheep, who left the 90 and the 9, as it were, left the Father to come into this world to find His lost sheep. And He finds every one of them. And they're found in various places, various cities, and various conditions. And the way He finds them is He calls them by His voice. Preaching of the Word, the Gospel of Himself, of Christ. And all His sheep hear His voice. All of them. And they begin to follow Him. And that's how you know them. They hear His voice. And they follow Him. From that day forward. They can't stay away. They follow Him. But He came into this town, He came preaching, and it says much people were with Him and followed Him. And there was one woman who followed Him. He had come into her town, and she had heard of Him, and now He'd come to her town. And she began to follow Him afar off. She didn't feel worthy to be anywhere near Him. But she had to follow Him. And she did. She followed Him. Now this woman, of whom we'll read in a moment, says was a woman of the city. A sinner. We don't have to imagine what that means. She was a harlot, forlorn. I titled this message, Forgiveness for the Forlorn. Forlorn means lost. It means stray. It means abandoned. It means ruined. Forlorn means someone forsaken, someone desolate, someone who is wasted and miserable. Forlorn. She is a forlorn woman. Probably began as a young girl. This lifestyle, if you want to call it that, this begins young. She probably began as a very young girl. A young man pretended, promised her love, and she gave herself to him. And when he left her, gave herself to another until she had given herself to so many. And all broken, all relationships, until finally she ended up selling herself to try to make a living. It's a true story. It's still going on. Selling herself. And giving herself for pleasure and for money, and now she had neither. She's a forlorn woman. But she heard of this Jesus of Nazareth, who some said, this is the Christ, this is the sinner's help, this is the Savior, this is the Messiah who's to come into this world to save the forlorn. This one. And he came into her town and she had to see him for herself. And the first thing she saw when he came into her town, you know what he did? Look at it. Down in verse 12, when he came nigh to the city, behold, a dead man was carried out, the only son of his mother who was a widow. Lo and behold, here a funeral is coming out of town. A dead son, an only son, a well-beloved but dead son is being carried out. And at that precise moment in time, the Lord of life is walking in. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ stopped that procession, put his hand on that casket, and told that young man, rise. And he did. Imagine. We can't imagine what took place then. The mother screaming for joy and rejoicing. The people shocked. You know, everybody just amazed that a dead man has been raised from the grave by this one walking into town. This woman saw that. She's still afar off. And she thinks to herself, if he can do that, she thinks to herself, I believe he is who they say he is. And she saw many other things. Down in verse 20, two men came from John the Baptist. And they said, are you the one we should look for? And the people had just said, God visited his people. This is the prophet, that prophet of whom Moses spake, the Christ. And two men came from John, and they said, are you the one we look for, or do we look for another? And the Lord said in verse 21, and everybody standing around heard it. He said, and saw it. In that same hour, he cured many of their infirmities. Whatever they were, whoever it was who came to him, whatever their problem was, no matter how deep in this trouble they were, he cured them all. Every one of them. The plagues, evil spirits, those that were possessed, he cured them all. And those that were blind, he gave sight. And here's this woman standing, watching all this. And the Lord said it for all to hear. You go your way and you tell John what things you've seen and heard, how the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and to the poor, the gospel, the good news to sinners. You go tell John. And I just know for a fact, he's not just saying this to these two men, but there's somebody over there who's hearing his voice. You go tell John, the poor have the good news of full, free forgiveness of sins and pardon. They have the gospel preached unto them. Go tell him that. And this woman heard that. Oh boy. And it says fear came on all. They said God had visited His people. Fear coupled with wonder and amazement. And I just know this woman, she believes. She believes who this is. She does. She believes. How do I know that? I'll tell you in a moment. Verse 23, the Lord said, "Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Blessed is he that shall not be offended in me. And that woman may have thought to herself, how could anybody be offended in this man? There's nothing offensive about him. Look at him. I believe this woman began to see in him the altogether lovely one. I believe that she felt in her heart, knew in her heart, that this is the Son of the Most High God who came into the world to save His people. Surely no man can do what He did except He be the Christ. And I believe that He is He who was to come, and I sure need Him, and I sure want Him, but I'm so ashamed of myself. And I'm so unworthy. And I'd love to come to Him myself. But what if He wouldn't take me? What if He wouldn't have me? I'm just so sinful. I'm just so too sinful. Not realizing that this man came into the world to save the unworthy, to save sinners, the chief of sinners, the worst of the worst. Now this woman, unbeknownst to her, the Lord is calling her. He's calling her. And she doesn't know it. She's being drawn by Christ. Scripture says, of His people, God says, "I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." And He does this by the gospel, by His voice, by His word. He draws them without them knowing it at first. The reason I believe that this woman is being drawn by the Lord is she's heard. She's heard Him. And she believes Him. She's seen His glory. She's seen His glory, the one who raises the dead, the one with all power, the Lord of the dead and the living. She's seen that. She's heard His voice. She sees her need of Him. He's the only Savior, and He's her only hope. And she loves everything about Him. Now, if she were not His own, she would see none of these things. If she did not belong to Him, she would not need Him. If she did not belong to Him, she would not believe Him. If she did not belong to Him, she would not have heard His voice. If she did not belong to Him, she wouldn't have come to Him. See, there's no evidence in herself. There's nothing in her but sin. Or then how you know that she's one of the Lord's? My sheep hear My voice, and they follow Me. They come to Me. They come to Me. And she's going to come in spite of her sin, in spite of her shame, in spite of her guilt, because of her sin, because of her shame, because of her guilt. She's got to. She's going to die if she doesn't. She already has life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that believeth hath life. He that needeth hath life. He that heareth hath life. He that seeth hath eyes. Well, lo and behold, one of the Pharisees, in verse 36, one of the Pharisees desired the Lord that He would eat with him. One of the Pharisees asked Him to dinner, so He went in. And that woman saw him go in that house. I'm not making this story up. This is what happened. She wouldn't have come had she not heard him. She wouldn't have come had she not seen, heard his voice, known who he was. She wouldn't have come. And the Holy Spirit of God is drawing her. And the Holy Spirit of God showed her where he was. Like Ruth, remember? Naomi said, "You mark to that Moabite woman who had nothing." And Boaz didn't need her. Oh, but she was a forlorn woman too. She needed him. And Naomi, a faithful witness, said, "You mark the place where that man is, and you lie down at his feet. You go there and you lie down at his feet, for the man will not rest." If you do that, if you go and lie down at his feet, that man will not rest until he hath done this thing concerning you. You go and lie at his feet. Everyone who's ever lied at his feet will not go away guilty. It's impossible. He's called the Redeemer. You need redeeming? That's his name. You need forgiveness? That's his name. So she saw where he went. And she couldn't take it any longer. She thought, "I've got to see him. And I got to ask him if he'd help me. That he would, if he would please loose me from my many infirmities. That he would, if he would please loose me from these demons. If he would please deliver me from this captivity I'm under the devil. If he would please get rid of my sin, I can't get rid of it. If he would please rid me of my guilt. If he would please do something about this shame. I've got to, there's nobody else that can help me. I know that. I know he's able. But is he willing? If he would please," and she thought, "I've got to come to him. But I can't just come empty handed. See, I can't just come into him, surely." And so she ran home. She ran home. And she thought, I got to bring something to him. And she got her prized possession in her house. She didn't have much. She found something. There's something there very valuable to her, an alabaster box. Full of precious ointment, very valuable. Back then, men and women actually had things that were worth of value, actual silver and gold, not paper money, things of value that they traded or whatever. And she had this alabaster box of precious ointment. What it is, we don't know, but it was very precious, costly ointment. It was ointment that she perhaps used on herself on occasion, very rare occasion. And she got comfort in that. It made her feel better. It soothed her, made her forget her troubles, you know. She had this this vessel that was of great value with this treasure in it that she would one day perhaps trade or sell to meet her needs. But she thought, "I don't need anything but him. And I'm going to use this on him. I'm going to give this to him. And maybe he'll take this and do for me what I really need. I had one thing needful. I don't need this. And I'm going to go cast my all that I have, all this that I have, I'm going to just cast it at his feet." Well, she came. Verse 37, a woman in the city, a sinner. She knew he was there. And he sat at meat in the Pharisee's house. And here she came. And verse 38 says, she stood at his feet behind him, weeping. Now back then, they didn't sit at tables and chairs like we do. They reclined close to the floor. It'd been a small, short table with pillows and rugs and so forth laid out, and they would recline with their feet behind them at the table where they're on their elbow, and they sat there and ate like this. And our Lord's feet were out behind him. And this woman came in. And she is, as you might know, ashamed. Everybody knew who she was. Everybody knew where she'd been, what she'd done, her guilt. Everybody. And she was so ashamed. But that didn't keep her from coming to Christ, did it? But she came and stood behind. She stood behind the Lord Jesus Christ like this. And I'm sure the whole room got silent. And all you could hear was her weeping. She's sobbing, weeping. Her head is hanging. She's weeping and trembling. You ever wept so hard that you tremble? She doesn't know what's going to happen. And she begins to weep profusely like this, so much so that her tears were covering the Lord's feet. She's got her head hanging down and she's weeping, and her tears are falling, and she looks down and they're falling on the Lord's feet, and she looks at those feet. She looks at the Lord's feet, and they're dirty. And they're calloused. Oh, are they calloused? And as far as feet go, they're ugly. Because they've traveled more than any other feet. And she can't help herself. But it says she hits her knees and falls and begins to wash his feet with her tears. And then she unplaits her hair, a woman's pride, her glory, the last vestige of pride that she had her hair all plaited up, you know, trying to look pretty when there's nothing pretty about her. She's a sinner. And she unplaits her beautiful long hair and begins to rub his dirty feet with her hair. Wipe that feet. And then she begins to kiss those feet. She's hugging those feet. Kissing those feet. And then she takes that, and the room is quiet, and people are uncomfortable. Everybody's uncomfortable. And she takes that bottle of ointment and breaks it or whatever, and pours that precious, costly, her life savings all over his feet. And the odor of that sweet smelling savor just permeates the room. Then she begins to anoint his feet with that precious ointment. What's this all about? Would you turn with me to Isaiah 52? Turn over there at Isaiah 52. His feet. His feet. The Lord Jesus Christ came walking. God walked among us. The Lord Jesus Christ walked this earth, literally. Many, many miles. Everywhere he went, he walked. Everywhere he went, he walked. Unless he went by ship, he had to cross the lake or the ocean. One time he rode on a donkey, just one time, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. But the rest of the time he walked. He walked by faith, spiritually. He walked literally as a man, God's messenger, God's Messiah, God's Savior, a shepherd, as a shepherd would, walking in search of his sheep. Many miles. And so our Lord's blessed feet, here's what I'm trying to show that his feet, these feet of this one who came, these blessed feet, were often very, very dirty, often very, very tired, often very, very sore, weren't they? And because they walked so far and so often, I just know they were more callous, they were more, humanly speaking, there was no beauty about these feet that you could desire them. None. Oh. Look at that. Isaiah 52, verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. Down in verse 3, he said, You've sold yourself for naught, and you shall be redeemed without money, and I'm here. And this woman thought, these are the most precious and beautiful feet I've ever seen. And so do all of his people, and that's where every one of them cast themselves. Oh, how beautiful. Well, this Pharisee, though, there's a bunch of these fellows here. They were just here for show. They Pharisee, that's what they are. They're hypocrites. That the Lord, every time the Lord said Pharisee, he said hypocrite. Didn't it? Every time. Beware of the scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites. They loved to be seen. They loved to have the titles. They loved the show. They loved to talk doctrine. And they invited. That's why this fellow invited this fellow, John. He invited this rabbi, young rabbi. They heard about him. And they wanted to talk doctrine, you know. Look at it. Verse 39 and following, a Pharisee had bidden him, said, if this fellow were a prophet. See, he doesn't believe who he is. He didn't know what manner of woman this is that touches him. She's a sinner. If this fellow knew who this was, he'd know why he came. That he came just for ones like this. Didn't come for the righteous. He already said that, didn't he? I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And they'd already said, this man is a friend of publicans and sinners, didn't they? Not knowing what they said. Oh, if they knew. But no, they didn't have any sin, you see. They weren't sinners like others. Not like this woman. Oh my, they wished later on that they had been. Better to be a sinner like this woman at the feet of Christ than a Pharisee who'll be one day under his feet and cast into outer darkness. Better to be a sinner. There's more hope for an out-and-out, low-down, no-good, worthless, dirty, stinking, forlorn sinner, the worst of the world. There's more hope. Yay, hope? That's a sure hope through grace to every forlorn sinner. Pharisees don't. They don't need Christ. They just want to talk doctrine. They don't love Him. It's very uncomfortable. They're very uncomfortable around those who do. They don't show any emotion. No emotion. Pharisees don't show any emotion. That's what our Lord already said that, didn't He? We've piped and you haven't danced. You haven't, there's no joy in the message. We've mourned and you haven't cried about it. No emotion. No, they agree doctrinally, but they don't show any emotion. They're critical and speak evil of sinners. That's what this Pharisee is. She's a sinner. Critical of and speak down on, look down upon sinners. Scripture says, as a man thinketh in his heart, that's the way he is. They won't answer. The Lord asked the Pharisee, I've got something to say to you, the Lord said, and told the story of the two creditors. And the fellow was reluctant to answer. He knew the answer to that. He said, I suppose. Well, if I have to answer that, I will. Over previously, it said the Pharisees rejected the counsel of God against themselves, didn't it? Didn't it say that? They rejected the counsel of God against. What is God's word? The counsel of God is against Phariseeism, against us, our self-righteousness, against us. It's for the sinner. The counsel of God, the gospel of God is for the sinner. It's against the self-righteous. And they rejected them. We be not sinners. We don't need this gospel. It says, while the common people heard him gladly and said, justified God. Like David said, you're going to be clear when you speak and just when you damn me. Everybody that says that, God will not. He will not. He cannot. He cannot. Scripture says, he cannot. Whosoever trusteth in him shall not be guilty. That's what the Scripture says. God who cannot lie. Whosoever what? Straightens up his life? No. Whosoever trusteth in him. Whosoever hopeth in his mercy. God delights in them that hope in his mercy. I can do that, can't you? I can't clean my life up, but I can hope in his mercy. Well, I can't even do that unless he gives it to me. This woman came to Christ with nothing. She had nothing to commend herself. Another thing about this Pharisee, they're big talkers. But they don't give anything. They didn't give anything to the Lord. When the Lord came in, this was a common courtesy. When anyone came into your home, you had a servant anyway, give them a bowl of water to wash their weary, dusty feet. And anyone who came in, you would give them a common greeting, a kiss in that day, on the cheek in that day. Anyone who came in, because it was hot and out there and they were tired, would give them a little oil to their hair was full of dust and dirt. The common courtesy. And that man didn't give anything. He talked big talk, but he didn't give anything. Nothing. If you'd have heard him talking, you'd have thought he was real impressive. But he didn't give a dime. This woman gave it all. David Allen. And he did nothing. But she did everything. All she could. She had done what she could, the Lord said. Well, look at this. Oh, my. He turned to the woman. Verse 44. The Lord turned to the woman. He looked on the woman. All right? He's eating. Oh, my. The Lord is reclined. His feet are out there. Picture this whole scene. This is a true story. These are real people. Real people. This woman is a real harlot. Okay? And this is the real Savior, the real God manifest in the flesh, sitting at that table at this day. How could you not come to Him? Her only hope, Roberta, her only hope. And in spite of what anybody thinks, in spite of herself, she got to get to Him. She thinks this is my last hope. And she comes in and And at His feet, and the Lord's eating. Everybody else is uncomfortable. The Lord is smiling. He's eating. Everybody else stops. See, the Lord's been waiting on her. The Lord's been waiting on this woman. Tammy, she came from glory for this particular time, this moment in time, in the fullness of time. This was one of His own. He brought her to His feet. At this moment in time, He came to save her from her sins, to forgive forever all her iniquities. How? With a word. And He's smiling. She made it. I knew she would. I've been waiting. This is the Lord who said, He'll be wait to be gracious. You won't come to Him. But He's come to you. And yes, you will come to Him. And He's smiling. All right, she's laying there at His feet weeping. All right? And then He talks to this Pharisee. And he doesn't smile when he talks to him. He pierces him through with those eyes like sharp swords. Says the Lord's arrows are sharp in the hearts of His enemies. Like a consuming fire. I know you, Pharisee. Oh, and, but then he turns and he looks at that woman. And his countenance changes. And his eyes change. And his eyes, he looks upon this woman like a father would look upon his little child. As a father pitieth his child. As a father, as only a father could know. As a father or a mother looks upon his child with pity, with love, with compassion, knowing full well what he's going to do, knowing why he came. He looks upon this woman. The one for whom he came, this moment in time. But he says to Simon, all the while he's looking upon this woman, she's still got her head down. And he says to Simon, verse 44, he said, you see this woman? I entered into your house, you gave me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss. This woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore, I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Well, she loved much. And to whom little is forgiven, though, same loveth little. With the word. Since she loves me, why? How do you know she loved the Lord? She couldn't stay away. They went out from us because they were not of us. If they had been of us, those who loved the Lord, they no doubt would have continued with us. But they went out from us that it might be made manifest that not all of us, us, who are us, sinners. Just a bunch of sinners, a bunch of forlorn people, starting with this fellow, who see a need of a Savior, who cannot save themselves, who see Christ as their only hope, who fall at His feet every time they come, weeping over their own sin and casting themselves upon the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Us. Is that you? Us. She loved Him. She humbled herself and she followed Him. We're going to see that. And forgiveness. Now this woman heard Him say that to others. Didn't she? She heard Him say that before when He was out there healing others. He heard Him say that. He forgave many of their devils and so forth. She heard Him say that afar off. And now she hears it said in the third person to the Pharisee. She's got to hear it. She needs to hear it for herself. Right, John? We love that verse. It says, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. I need to hear it. Lord, I need you to tell me. So he turned to her, Jeanette, and he said unto her, thy sin, and I believe he lifted up her head. I know he did. He lifted up her head. Lift up thine head, thy redemption draweth nigh. And he lifted up her head, and he said unto her personally, looking her right in the eye, thy sins are forgiven. Not might be. Not will be if you... Not if... Now from here on out, if you... Thy sins. Which ones? All of them. Well, there are many. All of them. All manner of sin shall be forgiven. Who? Anyone. Believer, unbeliever. Who is there among us without sin? Don't cast away your confidence. We came as sinners to begin with, didn't we? But what are we now?
worse.
Oh, not as far as men go. You know, as far, you know, we're not, you know, well, I don't need to explain that to God's people. We're still sinners. And he says, thy sins are forgiven them. Well, they argued. They said, who is this that forgiveth sins? Who is this? I tell you who it is. Scriptures tells us who it is. This is God. Who can forgive sins but God, they once said. That's right. You see, there is therefore now, as soon as the Lord Jesus Christ said this, there was therefore right then, now, for that woman, right now, for every single woman or man at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, right now, as a guilty sinner, there is right now, therefore, based upon the word of the Son of God Himself, right now, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. What does it mean, be in Christ Jesus? Everything we've been saying. Heard His voice, seen their need of Him, come to Him, cast themselves on His feet, at His feet, hope in His mercy. That means you're in the Beloved. You're accepted. You're accepted. Everyone that comes to His feet is accepted. Accepted. Now is the acceptable time. Now. No condemnation. Who is this that forgiveth sins? Well, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. And the Lord is on His way, you see, to the cross to pour out the precious ointment that He brought. See, this woman brought all that she had, and He didn't require this of her. But it's proof. Proves the sincerity of her love to Him. But the Lord is going to go, and He's this earthen vessel with this great treasure, with this alabaster box, with this precious ointment called the precious blood of the Lamb, which He's going to go to Calvary's tree and pour out on the mercy seat. And because of that, every single one He died for will be redeemed. All their sins are paid for by that precious ointment that He brought. So what she brought, nothing. Nothing compared to His. Now, this is not the end of this story. I want you to see something, all right? Look at chapter 8, verse 50. Look at this. Verse 50, the Lord said in verse 50 of chapter 7, He said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Meaning, you came to me. Now you're saved. See, faith is not of yourself. It's the gift of God. And faith is to come to Christ, is what it is. Faith is to believe Christ. Faith is to cast yourself upon Christ. Faith is to trust Christ. Huh? Whoever does, they do so because God brought them. God gave them that faith. Thy faith. What God has given you, He will receive. Thy faith hath saved thee. And people, every time we come to hear this gospel, it's to be saved. Isn't it? To whom coming? We keep coming. That's why we keep coming here. We hear that Christ is going to be here. He said He would. Two or three are gathered. And those that need Him, those that have heard His voice and seen His glory, they got to come. They got to be where He is. And bless God, quite often they hear it again and again and again. Thy faith has saved me. By coming to me, you're saved. You're saved. You come in feeling forlorn, you go out feeling saved. You come in feeling no peace, don't you? You go out feeling peace. Go in peace. This woman didn't have any peace when she came. Boy, she did when she left. She didn't have any friends when she came. Boy, does she have one now. And she doesn't know it, but she's about to join a family. Look at chapter 8. It came to pass, he passed through every city and village, preaching, showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And certain women, there were other women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmity. Mary, called Magdalene, out of whom was cast seven devils. And Joanna, the wife of Chuzan, Herod's steward. Here's a great woman, but she's now just a follower, a disciple. Susanna and many others. He named several women there. It says all of them had been healed of evil spirits and infirmity. All of them. Every one of them had something bad about them, whether people knew it or not, Jeanette. Every one of them were sinners with infirmities and evil spirit. And this same Lord had to save them all. And it says many others. Who are the many others? I believe it was this woman. I believe he'd join right in. The Lord said, go in peace. She found her peace, John. Where is she going to go? To whom shall I go? What she did was kept following him. And she got right in line with these other women. And could be that she ran into this Mary Magdalene. And she thought, this woman thought, you know, I don't deserve to be with you people. You reckon, Sherry? This woman said to Mary Magdalene. She didn't know Mary Magdalene. And she thought, I don't deserve to be with you good people. And Mary Magdalene thought, good people, woman, you don't know. You just don't know. You don't know me. I was thinking the same thing about you. She said to this other woman, Joanna, said, who maybe, you know, was not as outwardly wicked as Mary Magdalene or this woman. She said to her, you know, I don't deserve to be with you people, but I sure would like to join with you. And that woman said, honey, whatever you've done, I've thought about it. Whatever you've done, I wanted to do it. And the only reason I didn't was the restraining grace of God Almighty. And I'm just as guilty as you. And I have nothing to boast in because I didn't do what you did. Now, honey, you listen to me. We're all here a bunch of worthless sinner, but He's worthy. Now, you get in line with us as we follow Him. What do you say? She said, I feel better already. And it says all of them ministered their substance. In spite of what their husbands thought, in spite of what their parents thought, in spite of what anybody thought, they thought nothing's too good, nothing is too much for what He's done for me. And they all ministered their substance. They did what they could with what they had. They gave to Him. But you know what He'd given to them? And you know what He'd forgiven them? Eternity will tell. Eternity will tell. My. True story. And it's still happening. Still happening. May God do the same in our midst this very day. All right, Brother John, you come. We're going to sing in closing. I think it's 299. Is it?
474.
474 and stand as we sing.